Will he tip the card?
I know I've said it before, but given the series of events that leads me into your studio today, Michael, I think there is something happening. There's something in the air.
We'll tip the card here.
I'll tip the card this weekend.
Mick Sharkey joins Racing Pulse to preview the big races in Friday Form Focus.
Oh, what a huge Friday Form Focus it is. Manicato Stakes Day and also Ladbrokes Cox Plate Day. Sharkey is up and about.
He's
pumped. And he's ready to find us all the winners. Sharknado, how are you?
I'm dry, Michael.
Maybe not for long. Last week you were
contemplated building an arc.
You were down in the dumps because the weather was playing havoc with the Caulfield Cup. Are you a little bit more energised despite the rain casting a shadow over the plate tomorrow?
No. Well, look. Why does it have to rain on the weekends?
Oh.
Can't it rain during the week?
Oh, tell me about it.
Well, it's bad enough that, although it is a public holiday today, which is much needed, because
public holiday,
I think
can't
it's,
do anything.
It's fair to say, after the last 3 months, what everyone needs right now is to stay home with their family.
No school.
And not have school and not do it. Why is there a public... Why are we doing this?
It is a cruel joke.
Thank you, Day, apparently. So thank you, Michael. I don't know what for, but thank you.
And so are the schools for another.
Yes, but the rain, it's going to ruin everything.
Well, hang on. What's it going to ruin?
I don't know. Life.
What you've had another early crack. Anthony Van Dyke, who ran so admirably last week.
Imagine what he would have done on a good track.
Oh. Tomorrow, you've been pretty strong for Armoury, haven't you?
Yes.
And now there's half a leg that's fallen off on the eve of the Cox Plate.
Yeah, not ideal.
Are you concerned about that?
Yeah, you probably don't want... You probably do not want the Racing Victoria stewards / veterinary panel scrutinising your horse 24 hours, 48 hours before a Group 1 race when there's no refunds on early market betting. Do you, really? But that's the situation we find ourselves in this morning on Cox Plate Eve.
Well, the positive news is that, speaking to Robert Cram this morning, the gut feel is that Armoury will... It's only very minor, and he will be past fit to
I'll
run.
Take that.
We'll find out a little later this morning. May not be the case with Magic Wand, who they're thinking that it could be a hoof abscess that is coming through.
Yeah, not ideal. Look, a hoof abscess would stop any horse. It doesn't matter if it's an import or a local horse. If you've got a hoof abscess
there was
brewing
talk of bar plates
this close before the race, you're not going to get your best run out of it. You're just not.
Save it for the McKinnon.
Save it for the McKinnon. Save it for the McKinnon.
And then Buckhurst might get
Buckhurst gets a run. Looking for a dry track. Was what we heard last week. I don't think they're going to get that this week. Do you save that horse over from McKinnon, even if it gets into the field, given the ground that it's likely to strike?
Well, the one man who will have all the... I could imagine his office at the moment would be a bit like Russell Crowe in Beautiful Mind, with all of the weather forecasts.
Just the different machinations
and
hectopascals.
And he's going to fall.
Isobars.
Is Marty signing? He may end up mad.
Wet bulbs.
He may end up mad by the end of Cox Plate weekend, just like Russell Crowe, if this weather continues. Marty, how are you?
Good, Michael. Sorry about that before, mate. I think your phone's playing up, but that's all right.
You're crystal clear now, so not to worry. Now, tell us, the inside word from the Weather Bureau. Is there any chance they've stuffed it up again and we're not going to get as much rain?
No, I don't think they actually will stuff it up this time, so I think they're going to get it right. Probably, as you know, I've put up a good 4 this morning with the stick of 9.4. They're saying that we probably will get some rain mid-afternoon, just light showers, with probably some heavier rain around 7 p.m. tonight, maybe 5 to 6 mil. And then after the last tonight, they're expecting 15 to 25 mil throughout the night, so... I'm pretty happy with that. That'll get us through tonight. I'm probably a good 4 to a soft 5 at the worst. And then tomorrow, we'll just have to wait and see how it comes up in the morning. But we'll probably be on a softer track tomorrow.
So if we get 30-odd mils predicted between now and tomorrow morning, after you've run 8 races tonight, what's the track going to be tomorrow?
Well, I've already drained the track following our last meeting in early October. So the track's set up to cop that amount of rain and allow it to get through the profile. If the rain does stop around 10 a.m. and then we get some nice winds and that throughout, like up until the first race, the track will naturally improve. So I don't think we'll be on it any worse than maybe a 6 or a 7. And then if we get those winds and the rain actually stops, then we may even get back to a 5 throughout tomorrow. So that's kind of what I'm hoping it'll be. But if we get more rain than what they forecast, then it may be just a little bit different.
Is there any chance of rain throughout tomorrow's Cox Plate day?
They're saying showers, but, you know, very, very minimal, and that's more out to the east. So I would say we're in for a dry day throughout Cox Plate day through the race meeting, but it's just going to be a cool day, only 15 degrees. So it's going to be a bit cool, a bit chilly, but I think it'll be perfect for the horses and for the race meeting itself.
All right. The issue we had a couple of months ago when the meeting had to be abandoned, that was just horrendous torrential rain throughout the actual day. Is there any concern from you about how the track actually handles heavy amounts of rain these days?
Not if you get the rain before the meeting. This track always does deteriorate if we get rain during a meeting, and that's what happened on that meeting. But in saying that, the track naturally has improved over the last 6 weeks from that meeting when it did get cooled off. And as I said, I did birdie drain, so just allows any water to get into the track and soak down through the profile instead of sitting on the top like it did on that day. But no, I'm pretty confident that this track's in 100% order. The guys have done a great job to prepare it, and we haven't raced in the truth for 4 weeks, so beautiful cover of grass on it. And yeah, we're trying to put everything in place that we need to do in case we do get that amount of rain.
And rail back to the true tomorrow, with everything that's predicted, do you expect that they'll be wanting to get off the fence?
If we get through tonight on like a good four soft five where they don't mark it out as much, they may be on the rail early in the race card on Saturday. But I would say with the rain forecast and the size of the fields and that, later on in the day, they probably will get off. But you know, there is the opportunity to move it. But I think everyone's kind of said now that let the jockeys find the best spot and that'll be their job. You know, we've done our job to prepare the track and leave the rail where it is and all that. So just see what the jockeys can do and the best horse will win on the day.
Do you get any sleep between tonight and tomorrow morning?
Yeah, no, because we're finishing early tonight. Last race is sorted at 9, so I'll be home by 9 o'clock and then back here at 6 a.m. in the morning. So normally on a Manicato, we don't finish till about 11, and then we've got to be back at 6, so we get a couple of extra hours of sleep. And I'm sure I'll sleep well. I slept well last night, so I reckon I will again tonight.
All right. All important. Leave us with a winner. You can have either tonight or tomorrow. What's the best over the 2 day Cox Plate?
I'm going to give you two because Kerry, he's hit the fun again. He's got another winner under his belt. So I'm going to go Spin Tech tonight in the Manicato. He did gallop here really well on Tuesday morning, probably a bit of a roughie. And I'm going to go Russian Camelot. I've been watching Russian Camelot gallop around here over the last 2 or 3 months when Danny brings a couple of horses in on race day. And I just think this is the race he's heading for. And as much as he has been beaten by a couple of these before, I think this is his grand final and he'll beat them all.
Good on you, Marty. Good luck tonight, mate. We'll speak tomorrow morning.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
Marty Simon, track manager at Moonee Valley. Gee, they do an unbelievable job, these track managers, with all the variables they've got to contend with.
Hard enough with back-to-back race meetings. You throw in potentially 40 mils of rain in the next 24 hours. It's not an easy task. Marty and his team, as you've just heard, they've made every preparation and done everything they possibly can to make sure that we're on the best possible ground tomorrow, which is what you want to hear. I reckon tonight might be the time to have a bet.
Well, the track's going to be better conditioned.
Particularly early.
Potentially. Mind you, though, if it rains throughout the meeting?
Yeah, I'll be playing early tonight and I'll be backing on pace horses. That's what I'll be doing. But we'll get to that later.
We are going to get to that a little later. We're going to go through the Cox Plate field runner by runner. SMS is already flying in. Shark, Potmore favourites, Tipmore 20-1 winners. Shark is the black sheep of the tipping world.
I love that.
Which is an interesting SMS that is coming through.
I quite like that.
Not afraid to tip horses at big odds, the Sharky. So there's an interesting kind of theme here that you're a bit random. Ask Sharky about a 60-1 tip he gave out yesterday.
Yeah, that was good. Laugh along at for Nigel Blackson.
You tipped a 60-1 winner yesterday.
Yes, for the race club, raceclub.com.au.
Nothing for your friends at RSN?
To save something for the people that pay the race club their subscriptions, Michael. I'm just happy to be a minor part of that that service.
Even just a little SMS after your race club punters have got on.
Yeah. Right. At theraceclub.com.au.
All right. Michael, I put it to you that
bagging the bomb
by racing tipsters is an exercise in deflection and diversion. Well, Johnny Drama. Yeah, that's
I don't know if we're bagging the bomb. They can't control what the weather's going to be. It's sort of just ruining a springtime downpour. I think that's more what we're doing. No one you can really blame for the weather. It's not Jane Bunn's fault. She's just calling it as she sees it.
No.
But as do, I do, as they, you do, Michael.
They do get it wrong, just like tipsters do. All right, let's get into the Cox Plate, the 100th running of the Ladbrokes Cox Plate. We'll go through in racebook order for the punters out there who want to find the winner. And this is going to be one of the most open Cox Plates in recent times. The market at the moment could be turned on his head, its head, depending on the weather and these vet tests this morning. But number one is Colding, a $13 chance. This is a horse that lost all form. He's been back in form his last two. Question mark is, how does he go in Melbourne?
Well, if we look at the form guide, he doesn't go very well in Melbourne at all, does he? Seems like he's a different horse down here. I think much was expected of him when we saw him here last spring. And it's, well, spring, autumn, and it's fair to say he didn't live up to the expectations. He was poor to plain in the Futurity and the All-Star Mile, which is a bit of a problem, because if it's a problem with anti-clockwise racing, well, guess which way we're running tomorrow at Moonee Valley. I'm taking a risk on him on that basis.
Can't win?
Oh, he's... no, he can't win.
All right, he's a $13 pop. Put the line through Colding to be ridden by J-Mac. Number two is Humidor. He would be one of the feel-good stories of the race. He's $21, $5 a place. I'd love to have seen him draw a soft barrier. We know he flies at the Valley on Cox Plate Day. He's got a second and a third. Last year he got balloted out, went around in the Moonee Valley Cup. I think he's come back in ripping form.
He can win. This is... typical of, I think, punters anywhere in the world, but we get caught up with the new shiny toy and the new horse on the scene, and we tend to forget about the old warriors that just keep stumping up time after time, getting the job done. And Humidor has shown this time around, number one, that he loves Moonee Valley, number two, that he's in Group 1 form, number three, he's a genuine wait-for-age horse. Now, there are a number of horses in this race you could not say that about, particularly the latter. Humidor has been underestimated in this race, and I will be having something on him each way tomorrow.
Where does he go, Craig Williams, from that barrier?
I think they go back, and I think they ride for luck and try and come through the field, because what this horse can do is pick up through a field. He's happy to take a gap. He's happy to hug a rail.
Because he lays in. He's a big railer.
Yeah, and I think that's why he's so good at Moonee Valley. If you can keep him towards the inside... the inside might be off. They might want to get off the fence. Old mate Humidor might get a saloon passage just up the rails. They all might be hiking out looking for better ground, and Willow and Humidor might be able to pinch runs. He's good on soft ground, great at the track and distance. Do not leave him out of your quad.
$21, Humidor, a winning chance in this year's Cox Plate. Fierce Impact, just had a good chat to Matt Smith. He's a horse that... I can't believe it's $26. He's drawn a little awkwardly. The question is he as effective over 2,000 as he is over 1,600?
I don't think he is. I don't think he is. The 2,000-metre race that he won is nothing like the standard that he's going to meet in a Cox Plate, albeit a very even one. I wasn't convinced that he... like, he ran on in the Hill Stakes, but I wasn't convinced that he was, like, charging through the line. And he said, oh, wow, you're going to win at 2,000 next start. I think he's a superior miler. Not for me.
All right. Master of Wine. This is one of the controversial horses that is backing up from the Caulfield Cup. A lot of thought he may have been lucky to get a run in the Cox Plate, especially Nick Williams. He's drawn Barrier 1, Michael Rodd. They weren't happy with the ride in the Caulfield Cup last week, saying he was too close. He was considered one of the hardest to beat in the Caulfield Cup. 7 days later, he's a $34 chance.
Pass.
What about if the rain comes?
No. I don't think he's good enough. I don't think he's a wait-for-age horse. I think we've seen this time around that he's a handicapper. Just, it's a shame, because he was prepping so well for that Caulfield Cup, and he wasn't ridden to suit his racing style, and therefore his chances sort of went out the window. I don't think backing up a week later, coming back in distance, is a recipe for success off that sort of prep. Not for me.
All right. Cannot win, Master of Wine. Number five is Mugatu. Chris Lees, Johnny Allen, trying to do a saintly, come back from a Metropolitan and win a Cox Plate. Is he a 2,000-metre horse? Has he got enough speed in his legs to win a Cox Plate?
He's definitely a 2,000-metre horse. I don't think he stays out a really strong 2,400, and I know he's won a Newcastle Cup, but you can get away with that at lesser grades. At the elite level, look, the Metrop went absolutely to plan for Mugatu, and there were no excuses as he sort of came around the corner. He thought, well, the pace has been relatively gentle. You're in the first half of the field. You've got a turn of foot. You should be winning this. Mirage Dancer had less weight and outstayed him. Simple as that. Fresh for this back in trip. It's an ambitious sort of target. He's an interesting horse because in July he was winning listed races and now here he is in a Cox Plate. It's setting enough of a goal for him. It wouldn't shock me if Mugatu was in the Cox Plate next year off a more specific campaign, and we were talking about him, in I guess higher standing than we are in this race. I'm leaning to letting him go here. He can run against me tomorrow.
You don't elevate him if we get that wet track because he's won 5 from 8 on the soft.
No, there are better wet trackers than him in the race.
All right, Mugatu. Not this year, according to the Shark. SMS is coming through. What's Shark's opinion of Aspitar, who is one of these internationals? And he's probably an international that's been flying under the radar, trained by Roger Charlton. He's won 5 of 13. He doesn't have the international sexy form that some of the other internationals do have, but how good is he?
Look, it's not sexy form, but it's also not lights on at the pub. There's Aspitar at the bar, I guess I'm taking him home. Like, it's not that sort of scenario either. He's somewhere in between.
Don't
look at me like that. I know he's won a Group 1 race in Europe, but it wasn't a great Group 1 at Cologne. It wasn't a super Group 1. I don't know if he's a genuine international Group 1 horse. He may not need to be to run well here. He goes in the quaddy.
He's in the quaddy.
Yeah, he's in the quaddy, but I'm not sort of like foaming at the mouth to back him. Why? Because he's going to get such an economical run.
Okay.
From 3 with Damien Lane, who is an international jockey. They're going to get every chance from 3. And if things go wrong for horses drawn wide, I probably want a couple of those with cozy runs running for me in a quad.
Hasn't run since mid-July. These internationals, they can do that, but is that a concern? That's a long time.
No, I don't think so. He's, from the small amount of footage we've seen from Werribee, he looks fit enough. He looks in good enough shape. Damien Lane seems confident enough. I don't think fitness is going to be an issue.
All right, this is one of the other internationals, which we've been getting a little bit of insight from James Winks, who has been riding him a track work at Sir Dragonet. Glenn Boss jumps on looking for his 4th Cox Plate. He's a $13 chance now, trained by Kiramar and Dave Eustace, formerly with the O'Brien camp, the son of Camelot. He does have the magical form lines. Where does he fit in? Some thought, speaking to Kieran Maher yesterday. In fact, we've got a grab from Kieran Maher. I might play you what Kieran Maher had to say about Sir Dragonet.
I'm talking to Winksy on a daily basis, almost. Yeah, Winksy rang me yesterday and he said his work on Saturday morning was pretty good, but he said his work on Tuesday was just a different level. He said he just turned the corner of this horse. So you can go through his form and suggestions that he's not a non-winner, but you should look at the horses that have been beating him. It's like anything that can give Magical a kilo and a half and run second to it, that's some of the best form that you'll ever see at the moment. If he brings that, I doubt whether he gets beat, to be honest. If he brings that form...
Of course, that was Glenn Boss. A pretty strong comment. And then yesterday, Kieran Maher said he may well be even better suited in a Melbourne Cup. He's going to need a strong 2,000 foot. He thinks he's a horse that is going to need a real race of attrition.
I don't know what this horse is, to be honest. Early days, he was favourite for a derby, coming off a Chester Vase win of about 48 million lengths. He looked like he was going to be something. That was his last win, May 2019. Beat a horse called Norway, who's flat out trying to win a benchmark 80 in New South Wales. I know Dashing Willoughby's gone on to better things, but I don't think the ground suited him on that occasion. I've got a theory about this horse. I think he likes running with his mates. I think he likes running with the herd. Eventually he runs past them because he's probably got quality.
That's a kind way of saying he's a non-winner.
Yeah, he is a non-winner.
That's a big call.
Well, it's not really. You look at his form, and I think anybody who looks at European form with any sort of depth would be of a similar opinion. He has a lot of ability, but it's getting it out of the horse. Kieran Maher might be the man to do that.
Genuine.
I don't think he's genuine. Kieran Maher might be the man to get this horse firing on all cylinders. Glenn Boss, freakish jockey, champion jockey. He might be the man to coax it out of him. You've got to put him in the quaddy because the talent is there, but my suspicion is he won't win again.
This is a question that has been asked a few times. Boys, if Sir Dragon is so good, why did O'Brien sell it?
Exactly right. I think probably because they've had enough of him, to be honest. And there is a market for these sort of horses. Australians will pay massive money, which they did, for horses like this. The problem is they have to win massive money to get square again. That's the risk you take with a horse like this. Look, Aussie Care's a friend of mine, and they want to go and buy this horse. That's 100%, this is the sort of horse they like buying because they like buying the high-quality horse. If you get a Group 1 here, you'll get something back at stud, you'll get something back at the prize money, but there's a risk involved because they're not selling this horse as a genuine Group 1 performer in Europe that's just smacking everything up. He's not an Anthony Van Dyke who tries his absolute backside off. This horse has a think about it. So it's up to Glenn Boss tomorrow and Kieran Maher and Dave Eustace going forward to try and turn him around. I'm not saying they can't turn him around. They may well turn him around, and we may be looking at a dominant Group 1 horse for the next season. But on what he's done recently, he has a think about it.
Ben from Hoppers Crossing says, Shark, what's your thoughts on the gear change synthetic hoof filler on Sir Dragonet?
It's not ideal. It suggests that the horse has got some sort of hoof issue, that part of the hoof might have come away or broken, or he has some shelly feet, so you're putting the hoof filler on to try and stabilise that foot. That's not great. And I've had good horses with hoof problems, and
well, you had one that
you don't sleep well.
That would have won a Melbourne Cup, you keep telling me, if he didn't have hoof problems.
Yeah, I understand that. Yep, that's, yep. Don't remind me about that.
Let's get on to Magic Wand. Speaking of hoof issues, if she gets past fit to run, can she win a Cox Plate? She ran so gallantly in the race last year. Is she going as well as she was this time 12 months ago? She's
$26. No. I don't think she is. The form lines early this season were solid. The run, the Group 2 win at the Carrow was a good, tough win. She put them away, as you would expect a horse of her quality to. The Eclipse one run was sound. You know, four lengths to Gayath and Enable. That's pretty decent. Next two runs, so-so. She did have a big weight penalty at Goodwood, and the Carra just didn't go at all to plan. They're really hoping that she finds her best form here more than being confident, and the potential for a hoof issue or a possible abscess brewing there, that's not ideal.
All right, so Magic Wand, question mark whether she starts. If she does, Mick Sharkey's saying she can't win anyway.
She's the leader if she gets in, which is important.
You think she'll lead?
Oh, yeah.
She'll Grand Slam?
She'll be there leading. She'll be there with Grand Slam leading and making sure the pressure's on a little bit. I'm not saying to help Armory, but...
Well, that's what they do in Europe, but they have.
We can't do that here, of course, Michael. You know we can't do that.
They have got in trouble in the past.
They have
in a Melbourne Cup, so you'd be riding her to finish in the best possible position. Mark Zara would be,
because absolutely he would. Mark Zara wants to win the Cox Plate. My word, he does.
What about Arcadia Queen? This is the X factor. She's back. Speaking of more hoof issues, she looks like she has shaken that off. She looked awesome at the Valley on Tuesday morning.
She did. She just rumbled around there, didn't she? Came around that corner and roared to the line. It was a really, really nice piece of work. She can win the race as long as the track's no worse than a soft five.
Yeah, I left on the Valley a soft on six. Tuesday saying I think she will win the Cox Plate.
Yeah.
I don't think she can on a wet track. What?
On a six or a seven, or if this ground chops up a bit, that's going to hurt Arcadia Queen's chances because her best weapon is her acceleration. And if that's dulled somewhat, yeah, not ideal for fans of Arcadia Queen, but a winning chance.
Where does she sit in the run?
From eight, I think it's a tricky draw because I'm not reading a whole heap of speed here, and there's a number of horses that like to just settle into their rhythm, midfield or worse than midfield, and she is definitely in that category. There is potential for Arcadia Queen to be caught three wide. Mm.
you're not expecting much speed overall. Is this going to be a slightly run Cox Plate?
I think they'll control the speed mid-race, and I want to be on horses in the first half of the field.
Well, give us your speed, Matt, while we're talking about it. Where do you see the field formation?
Grand Slam and Magic Wand, if she runs, go forward. Grand Slam, of course, like, why would you ride a three-year-old with a featherweight back in the field? It's not going to happen. So they'll be going forward. I think, we're about to talk about him, I think Oliver has to go forward on Russian Camelot. I think if the race becomes a sit sprint and he's back off them trying to come around, it's going to be too hard. He's going in last. Less chance of the horse to play up in the gates. Less chance of him to be in a bit of a mood. Bounce him straight out. Go forward. Control the race. Ollie might even lead. If the horse is feeling that good and he wants to, well, go and control the race.
Really?
Why not? Take luck out of the equation. Why let the race be... Why be dictated to? If they think he's so good, go and dominate the race. I don't think... I've got an inkling that Oliver may grab the bull by the proverbial horns here and go forward on this horse.
A lot will be determined in how he obviously breaks some of the barriers. But would you risk being 4, 5, 6 wide at that first turn?
He won't be 4, 5, 6 wide. Those two horses we mentioned will get out and go forward. He can come across. He won't be 4, 5, 6 wide. There's a group of them that like to sort of settle in that box seat position. Horses like Armory, horses like Aspitar, Sir Dragon A. You know, they'll all be trying to just slot in, and that they won't want to be pumping up there with the leaders. They'll let the leaders go and do their thing. Probabil's probably another one in that category. He'll be able to get forward easy enough.
And then run the risk, though, of being caught three wide.
There'd be no risk. He won't be three wide.
I love your confidence. Love your confidence.
Well, he gets a soft track as well. Let's see how good this horse is. You're getting the price to find out now. I'll skip Natoya. She can't win. Oh. I love her. She's a pizza-eating, beer-swilling, Group 1 winning mare. Cheers to that, right? We keep saying we need more characters in racing, but if she wins the Cox Plate, boy, oh boy.
You'll?
Oh, no, I'm not making any strange predictions. It will just be another strange twist in the tale of 2020. If Natoya wins a Cox Plate, you just think, you know what, that's about right, too.
All right, well, she's $81. So, Russian Camelot is the favourite, $4.60. He was $2.70 2 weeks ago. He's got out to $4.60 now. Wet track, if we get into the soft range, is he going to be one of the horses who is best suited?
Yeah, definitely. This horse is at its best with its toe in the ground. And there's nothing wrong with that. I heard someone half criticise that guy's a wet track. If he's an elite wet tracker and you're in a Group 1 race on a wet track...
Well, look at Very
Elite. I would have thought that's cause to bet, isn't it? Particularly when, you know, the world ended because he got beaten at Caulfield and the next coming of Farlap is suddenly out to a backable price and from a wide gate, oh, he can't... What are you getting, $4.50? He has become a bet in this race for me. He's not the top pick, but he's become a bet in this race. I'm just hoping Oliver goes forward.
Gee. Does it play in the back of their
mind? He did it in the Underwood.
Yeah, but it was how many horses in the Underwood?
Doesn't matter.
Five?
Doesn't matter. I think they've tried it in the Underwood, and he was handy again in the Caulfield Stakes.
And if they've got a Melbourne Cup in the back of their mind, do they want to rev him up and lead a Cox Plate?
Take the win now. So a very smart trainer, it might have been Peter Moody, once said to me, take the win that it's in front of you, not the one that's 2 weeks away.
Mm. All right, so you're declaring Russian Camelot could lead the Cox Plate field. If not, he'll be in the first three or four.
Well, if Grand Slam doesn't want to lead, something's got to. If Magic Wand's not there, why not Russian Camelot? Russian Camelot will be on speed. That's my prediction.
All right. And 460, you'd be happy to play?
Yes.
All right. Armory. And this is the boy who you have been very keen on. Dean Lester has been very keen on him as well. And he's got the impeccable mouthwatering form. Running third to Magical Gayarth, beating home the Ark winner last start. Was that a flash in the pan, or was that the potential he's shown previously but hasn't really gone to? I know he won a Group 1 before, but that was in a different league compared to that last start in the Champions.
Well, what Armory has done, and he hasn't won a Group 1 yet. He's been placed in a couple. But what Armory has done is improved. He had a busy two-year-old season, which is unusual for an O'Brien horse. He had 7 runs as a 2-year-old, which is, you know, it's a pretty busy season by European standards. But what he has been able to do is throw forward from that level, which was a pretty good level. Group 1 place getter on a couple of occasions as a 2-year-old. You know, Victor Ladora and Pinatubo, that form's held up this season at 3. Irish 2000 Guineas run was really good. Gold Cup run, first go at 2000, it wasn't bad, it wasn't a fail. It looked to me like a horse that would be better for the experience at 2000, and we saw that in the Royal Whip when he was very strong to the line, good turn of foot, ticked the boxes there. And then he confirmed that form in the Irish Champion when his late work was the best in the race, and he was taking ground off Magical and Gayath, who are two of the best Group 1 horses in Europe. It's the right form line. He's got the right gait. He's got a very, very good jockey who is hungry to win races like this. He's going to get a very economical run in the first half of the field. You know, the Valley's contours are always an unknown for horses like this, but I've got the inkling that Armory is the sort of horse that'll handle it. He's a nimble sort of fellow that can quicken quickly, if that makes sense. He doesn't have to wind up into his work.
SMS asking, what about him on a wet track?
On soft ground, I think that's fine. Anything up to a 6, maybe a 7 is okay. He ran on an absolute bog at Longchamp as a 2-year-old in the Grand Criterium, and he was beaten 20 lengths in a 2-horse race, and it looked like he was just hating it. Get me out of here. You know, it was terrible. I don't think it's going to get that bad, listening to Marty Simon. Anything from a soft 5 to a soft 6, maybe touching soft 7, I'm confident.
Probabile, she's in ripping form. The Epsom winner. Barrier 2, we thought, gee, that's a lovely gate come Tuesday. Maybe by race 9 tomorrow, it's a question mark. A strong 2,000 metres.
I don't think she will.
Place hope for Matt Stewart?
Yeah, only because we love Maddie. This horse is better on. She's better on top of the ground.
She's currently fourth favourite at $9. You're putting a pen through
it. I'm working around Probabil. She's going to get a great run. That is something. Like if she'd drawn wide, straight away, out the door, Probabil. But she gets a really economical run. How many pairs back does she settle from 2? And she'll need the seas to part at some point. She's going to tag up into the race like a winning chance as they sort of start to turn. But whether she is good enough if and when the gaps come, that's the query. I know she's run second in a Group 1 in the Vinery. Don't at me. Would you back Shout the Bar in a Cox Plate? I would not.
Grand Slam, 3-year-old.
Oh, look, I said earlier in the week he shouldn't be in the field, so I am just prepared to get... As soon as I said that, I thought, he's going to get in the field here, and if he wins, I'm just going to cop it, and there'll be a soundbite for the archives. But I don't know if he's good enough. I think this run will top him off for a derby. I'm hoping they go to a derby on the back of this because I think he's probably the derby winner.
Well, I asked Kiramay yesterday, and they've got, I'm thinking 3-year-old McKinnon, Cantala, so there's quite a few options for him. So we'll wait.
Okay, so maybe not backing him in the derby at this point of the game, punters. Just wait.
At Buckhurst, the emergency, if he gets a run, any winning chance?
On a dry track, yes. On a wet track, we saw what happened last week. Few horses towed up into that race to the turn, as well as Buckhurst did. Probably a combination of the 24. I think it was more the soft track, because when he was given his head, he got the wobbles up big time. He did not like that ground. I think that's going to... I just hope, even if they get in the field, look, they'll probably run, won't they? But I would love to see this horse saved for a 2,000-metre McKinnon, Flemington, good ground if they were to get it. I think he'd just go and win that race. I really do.
Top 4 in the 100th Cox Plate.
Top 4. Armory on top. Russian Camelot, second. Humidor, third. Let's put Grand Slam in just in case.
What? Right, Grand Slam.
Just in case.
No Arcadia Queen.
Oh, no. I'm just expecting it to be soft 6 or thereabouts. I don't think that's going to help her.
That's a very in-depth look in the 100th Cox Plate. We'll take a quick break. We're going to whip through the rest of the card on Cox Plate Day. Then we'll look at the Manicato and get Sharky's best tonight as well.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Welcome back to Friday Form Focus. We're going to be quicker than Pippi going through the undercard at Cox Plate Day, and then we want to look at the Manikato Stakes tonight. SMS from Zeus. All right, Sharky, let's circle a few good things like a school of pilchards. Who builds our bank for the first and
tell
the
you what,
55 scamper?
Some massive schools of Port Phillip Bay sardines out there. And at the moment, I was out there yesterday trying to sand up some snapper very early in the morning. And there are some huge acres and acres of bait in the bay at the moment.
Around. You must have had a dry day.
They're all undersized, unfortunately. I did manage to catch two fish on one hook, which I've never done before. So I joined an illustrious club. Which also contains my father. But anyway...
Well, they say little fish are sweet.
No,
Ancestry
no.
Ancestry is $1.60.
Not undersized fish, Michael. We don't want to get fined. Ancestry. Now...
Just jump, lead, win.
Well, yeah, he should, shouldn't he? Where does Free of Debt run? Does Free of Debt run tonight or tomorrow? Because that is the only danger in this race. I'm just looking here. Free of Debt runs tonight. Okay, punters.
So $1.60 now is going to be
$1.60 will be $1.45. This horse will go straight to the front. He will win. If you're one of those mad people that likes throwing $1.60 chances into multis, which could potentially bugger up
your ancestry in the first at $1.45.
Just back. Yeah, probably that's the sort of thrill seeking. Look, I'm planning on swimming with sharks one day, but. I'd take that over having my whole bank on $1.45 shot in the first.
Ancestry will win, but $1.45 at your own peril. Race 2's the Inglis Banner for the two-year-olds. This is another tricky affair. There's been a lot of spruiking about Sneaky 5 during the week.
So much spruiking.
Jamie Carr into $4.60.
Listen, it's hard enough trying to work out how much rain's going to fall and who's going to win in different ground and everything else than it is trying to work out a field of 15 with only two having had a start. Once again, what time is this? 12:10. Do you know what time this is, Michael? It's first pie time. First pie time. I got through three last Saturday. I reckon I could do...
The big ones?
Oh, yeah. You know, spaced across the day.
All right.
I've got a remarkable metabolism. Sneaky 5 on top for Mytho, but no interest in that race.
All right, Sneaky 5. So first two faves to win, but... So far, not really betting proposition. Now, race number 3, we get to see Portland Sky, who I thought was really good last start down the straight. $3, Valaquenta at $4.40, Bella Nipotina at $4.60, and Freedom Move, who was good at $8.50 as well. Portland Sky, never seen a wet track. Is that a question mark?
It is until they handle it, but it wouldn't stop me betting on a horse. My worry with Portland Sky is barrier 1. They really need the horses to be getting off the fence for this thing to be able to get up the inside. I think he's found some traffic in recent runs, and he has a dart back to the worst ground at Flemington to make his ground. Sectionals were great, super, happy days, but everyone's backing him off that run rather than, I think, the possible map here. Ben Mellum's going to need luck to get out. I think Bella Nipotina is a sensational bet in this race. There's not a heap of speed. Mildred and Tarcoola Diva are probably there for nuisance value only. Bella Nipotina has very, very good gate speed, and I expect it to go straight to the front. Michael Rod can control the speed mid-race, and just as he did at Caulfield last time, he started to slip him a couple of lengths around the turn and put a couple of lengths up the top of the straight. Look, he just ran into a Group 1 filly in Swat's That and was a little bit of a sitting duck there for Muntasira late. Big margin the rest. I think Bella Nipotina jumps, leads, and wins.
$4.60 for the punters in race number 3. Race number 4, the Phillies Classic. Ecumenical was just so big in the 1,000 guineas. It was a huge run, as was the run before in the prelude. $2.60, one of Dino's best of the day. Thermosphere, she beat home in the guineas, is the second favourite at $3.90. And then Incredulous Dream on the backup from last week. She's won 2 from 4 on the soft Ecumenical. Does she get a more ecumenical run?
Very good by you. Not as good as my premature ejaculation. Did you like that?
No, I saw that.
Oh, so many people did.
I had a little vomit in my mouth.
Oh, come on.
No.
Where's this? Where's your...
You've got to know your limitations, Chuck, and humour is not...
Everyone loves a bit of silliness, though. Everyone does. Such a serious world we live in.
I know.
Ecumenical, all things being equal, Ecumenical has the form to win this race. My concern is that she does plenty wrong. She did it at Caulfield in the Tranquil Star. She was sort of in and out and all over the shop. Caulfield again, when she was giving her head around the turn, she ran a massive race, considering she was 4 and 5 wide the trip and kept finding the line, but she was still a little bit kooky, ecumenical.
You should know what ecumenical actually means, Sharky.
Yeah, it's like of all religious faiths,
yeah,
isn't it?
Because you were a former RE teacher.
Schoolies week at Lawn back in the day, I was having a lovely chat with a nice young lady, and she went to an ecumenical college, and that was her point to exit the conversation, saying, well, I guess you don't know what that means, being from Dandenong. And when I suggested I did in fact know what that meant, she just told me she wasn't interested, and that was it. So it's sort of a nice... I should have let the nice slap be the end of it, but I kept pushing, and I got the real slap.
You still a man of faith?
Of course.
Is it serving you well on these Saturday mornings?
Peace be with you, brother. ecumenical should win this race. I think if she's beaten, it'll probably be by Miss In Between, who I love that run at Caulfield. Yeah, and look, she did slip Embolism a length around that corner. He was too good. I think he's a proper group horse in the making, particularly towards the autumn. She was good there, though, and there was a big margin back to your horse, Confrontational. I did get a text before just asking how the renovations were going around at Fellgate Manor, and I can update everybody and say there is a series of plans on the kitchen bench. So I like the idea of having two wings, and I don't think 5 stories is too much.
You're an idiot.
You're going to get sea views like that. I think it's great.
Sea views.
More room for butlers. It's...
Maybe it's still a chance to go to the Derby. We never know. Hey,
you haven't got the money to pay.
No, I don't. Other
Jackie
owners
does, though.
Other owners do. Hey, let's move on. All right. So
Miss In Between, a danger to Ecumenical. Who should win?
Okay, Ecumenical 260. Miss In Between is currently $12. Race number 5 is a race that sets up really well for Danny O'Brien's mares again. Sovereign Award just does not know how to run a bad race. 360, Paradis 390, Gressful Glanner at 550, and then Bon Vicini, who was Dino's Ramaruffi insofar as that he thinks it's over the odds this morning at $6.
I heard that and I liked that as well. I think Bon Vicini's a great chance in this race. It and Paradis are the two principal hopes in this race, in my opinion.
All right, race 5. Race number 6, Young Werther, the Derby favourite and a very well-backed favourite in the Vase here. Cherry Tortoni, I thought, was disappointing in Sydney.
Didn't handle the track.
No. Quay Quay at $6. And that could be the issue tomorrow if we get issues as well. Quay Quay's gutsy. And I thought Luna Fox ran really well last start at $6.50. Who wins the Vase? Do you take the shorts, Young Werther?
No, I don't think you do. The horse can win the race. But once again, are we getting a bit carried away here off the back of a win at Geelong and an unlucky run at Flemington? Are we just overreacting a smidge, perhaps? I think about Young Werther. Cherry Tortoni was enormous in the Exford Plate behind Crosshaven, who ran well in a Guineas. He was great in the stud behind Glenfiddich, who was Group 1 placed at Wait for Age before that, and who was a big chance for the Guineas before he had a little issue. Just forget about the Champion Stakes run. The horse did not handle the clockwise way of going. He was travelling well until he started to turn, and then as he started to turn, he lost all confidence, his action changed, his head went up. That was the end of the ball game. I will back Cherry Tortoni to beat Young Werther.
Handles the Valley.
He loves the Valley.
$5, Cherry Tortoni in the Vase. First leg of the quad is the Crystal Mile. Holmesman first up. Kings Will Dream. Olmedo's the interesting runner from Chris Wallace's stable. How does it handle the wet?
Olmedo?
Yeah.
Yeah, no worries there.
Okay.
I think I did myself a small mischief earlier in the week. I may have been asked, I can't remember who asked me. Somebody asked me about Olmedo, and I think I was rather scathing in my view of this horse, but I actually got the horse confused with another European miler who's coming over here. I can't remember its name, but I got them confused. I got them confused. So whoever that was, if you're listening, Olmedo can win. He's actually my top pick here. I think this is a plain race outside of...
It's a thin race, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, Holmesman and Kings Will Dream, you would say they're probably genuine Group 2 Wait for Age horses. I know Kings Will Dream's won a Turnbull, but when pushes come to shove at Wait for Age level at Group 1, they've been place getters more than they have been winners. I think they're your two on class. Olmedo is a Group 1 French Guineas winner with Group 1 placings in Europe. Chris Waller, take heed of trainers' comments. When you ask them about one horse and they tell you about another, maybe it's the other horse you need to be backing. He gave this horse a massive push, and I can see why when you watch its trials. Both Rose Hill and Warwick Farm work over distances well short of this horse's right, best. Were super.
Numbers.
Numbers? What numbers?
Quaddy, first leg.
Oh, yes, a quaddy, of course, because picking a quaddy out the day before a downpour is such good betting.
I don't want excuses.
One, only two, four, and six.
One, two, four, and six.
If the home rain doesn't come.
Dream, Olmedo, and Six Age of Chivalry, leaving out last year's winner.
If the rain doesn't come in a big way, if we're on a soft five to soft six, Chief Ironside would be the next.
All right.
If it's worse than that, no thanks.
Mini Valley Gold Cup.
This race has a tail, I feel. Shared Ambition, I reckon, goes better with some giving the ground. I think he still runs some really nice races on good tracks, but I think this horse is at his best on soft ground. He had no chance the way that race panned out last time, and making a looping run from the back of the field in a race that played to those nearer the speed, it just wasn't a good scenario for Shared Ambition. I think he can win this race. I agree with Dean that Trap for Fools is over the odds. Lindsay Smith gets them to peak for grand final days. Not many trainers are quite as good as he can get them for a big race. Sound, Ocean X, Carriff all go in. Carriff will run a massive massive run at a price here.
No Gaelic Chieftain, especially if it gets wet.
If it gets really wet.
All right. Numbers?
4, Shared Ambition. 5, Trap for Fools. 7, Sound. 8, Ocean X. 9, Carriff. Celino, somebody will probably text and ask him about this. Very one-paced horse. Needs to go forward. Needs to be left alone. I don't think it's... Well, this is a race that it sort of levels out okay at, a Group 2 race like this. But Spanish Mission, who flogged it at its last two starts, did so easily, and those behind it were plain at best.
All right. Ladbrokes, Cox Plate, your selections were Armory to beat Russian Camelot, Humidor, and also Grand Slam.
Mm-hmm.
Any other numbers in the quaddy?
Aspartar goes in.
6. So it's 12, 11, 2, 14, and 6.
Yeah,
no,
that'll do.
No,
chuck Arcadia Queen in. Go on, throw it in. It's meaningless anyway. We don't even know who's in and out at this point in the game.
Last race, Written Beauty's running tonight, so she will come out and she is the current favourite.
Couldn't win anyway from 13. Tough race, really tough race. Minhaj, Maha, highly discreet. Barry 1 is a problem, but she goes in. The other horse I want to throw in is La Mexicana and Twain's Express. Thanks to whoever put this race on as the last leg of the quaddy. Much appreciated.
All right, the numbers in the last leg are 1, 3, 4, 8, and 10.
Awful end to the day.
Manicato tonight. Group 1 $1 million Manicato Stakes. Trekking's got the obvious form. Pippi flies around the valley. Can she run a strong 1,200?
That's the query, isn't it? That is the big, big query. I'm leaning Trekking. Something on Haydock as well. My worry is how quick this ground is. If this rain doesn't come, hooly dooly, they'll be running time tonight.
Yeah, because he's left a fair bit of firmness in the track, preparing for
plenty
the rain
of firmness
to come,
there,
Marty Simon. All right, so you are on Trekking and Haydock.
Yeah.
Tonight, no dirty work.
No, 1,100 metre horse.
Okay.
Huckley Plate for it next year.
All right.
Start saving now.
SMS Sharky, can you smell that? It's a filthy three-day weekend.
Oh,
we need a filthy all-up.
I love it. Okay, I got one for Tasmania tonight.
Tasmania.
That can start it off. Yes. Race 6, the Tasbred 4-year-old over 1,200 metres at 8:35 Eastern Standard Time.
Gallinus?
Number 4, Julius.
Julius?
Very, very talented horse.
All right. 2 from 2. Mm-hmm. Trained by Leanne Gaffney. So mm-hmm. good luck. And it is $4.40.
Yep.
All right, we go wide here. Lonnie tonight, race 6, number 4.
Start off at Lonnie.
And? Next leg?
Then we're rolling into race 5 at the Valley.
Tonight?
Yeah, if you want to be really brave, go the Win, number 2, free of debt.
$6.
Yep, if you want to just lighten off a little bit.
Over your boy band.
Yep, Human Nature.
Race 5, number 2.
Yeah, if you want to be safe, go the place. I don't think you'll miss a place. And the next bet, Michael, we are going to go race 3 tomorrow, Bella Nipotina. Win.
Race
now,
three.
I don't know what that's going to pay out because I didn't do the calculations beforehand and I'm not Rain Man, so I'm not going to do them on the spot. But it'll be significant.
It'll be fat. It's
that
full
is
40,
a significant
full 40
multi.
Into $6 roughly into $3 odd dollars.
Now, so if it gets up,
it'll be fat.
If it gets up, and the contributions are welcome in the House of Shark, just address all slabs to Shark Melbourne and they'll find their way to me. Don't worry about that.
There's lots of SMSs coming through here. Even a blind squirrel finds the odd nut. Odd nut. That is from Frank the Baker. I think he's having a crack at you, Sharky.
I thought me and Frank were on good terms.
Other SMSs saying, what about Lavendi if the rain comes?
Oh, yes. The sneaky Gelagotis soars bobbing up on a big day. Yeah, if it gets really wet, put Lavendi in. Just forget about that last start.
All right. Anything else? Another SMS saying on the Friday night meeting at Moonee Valley that you like?
Dude, I just gave you one at Launceston.
Yeah, but what about...
Is that not obscure enough?
I'm asking the questions from our listeners. Do you like anything early doors tonight?
My tip at the Valley tonight is back all the leaders, particularly early. Just back leaders. Back leaders. Find the leader and back it. I've got one at Benalla if you like.
Today?
Yeah, do you want one at Benalla?
Yeah, I do. But I did hear the track manager this morning on with the boys saying that if the rain comes, the meeting could be in danger.
They'll be right. When was the last time it rained at Benalla? They'll be right. Benalla, race 1. Number 7. Maui.
Race 1, number 7. Benalla today.
One of your favourite holiday destinations. I could see you and Jack just
Phillip
sunning
Stokes
yourselves there like a couple of lizards
in a
plush condominium on the beach.
Sharky, you have
a couple of butlers. Would you take your own butlers to Hawaii or would you use
winner,
the local butlers?
You're the one who's going to, after a 60-1 winner yesterday, which you did not help your friends out.
We only talk to me twice a week. Every time I message you during the week, I get blanked. I even got a who's this when I called you the other day. You've blocked my number.
I have tried to block your number because you...
Many have.
Stalkerish action.
Always find a way.
Sharky, best of luck.
Good luck to you, Michael, and to all of our listeners.
Armory.
Have a happy and a healthy... And you know what? Enjoy your day off today, guys.
Who wins a grand?
Enjoy your long... Who? Do you know my wife didn't even know it was on
who
until
wins?
It came up in conversation
up.
Yesterday?
Who wins the granny?
Richmond.
Good boy. All right. SMS, all of your thoughts in and we will get to them tomorrow. Just a bag, Sharky, a little bit more. Sorry for those that I didn't get to read out. Enjoy.
Don't forget, spring ticket tonight.